Humanist Take on the World, episode 28, Buckets. Welcome to another episode of Humanist Take on the World. I am Dustin, and joining me is Lauren.
Hello.
All right, so this is a topic that we'll get to in just a little bit. First, we have some feedback from the last episode that's worth covering. And also, Stitcher is discontinuing. So if you still
the
use
with
that...
the broken link?
Was that?
Was that the one with the broken link that you had forever?
No.
Oh, okay. What is Stitcher?
Stitcher is a podcast app.
Oh, it's a podcast grabber.
And it was the second most popular for a very long time.
Bought and then discontinued, or?
Bought by SiriusXM, and it's being merged in with Pandora.
Oh. Oh, okay.
If you still use it, you probably won't be hearing this episode. So switch off to something else.
Is the Pandora thing not picking it up, or what?
They are not transitioning people over. It requires manual export of your subscription list.
Okay, so pay attention.
Yes.
Oh, fun.
And the feedback / elaboration / correction. Because when we were talking about evangelicals in the last episode, and you asked about black evangelicals, I was woefully unprepared to talk about black evangelicals.
Wait, what? A white dude in suburban America is unprepared to talk about black people? Shock. Utterly shocked.
In particular.
Idaho.
In particular on that, it was that the focus, you know, when it comes to trying to talk about any topic, you know, I intentionally tried to narrow that to white evangelicals, but Lauren, you wouldn't let me.
I'm sorry, it's kind of a point.
So, fortunately, Marcus to the rescue.
Yay! This
with a
listeners.
With a message saying, "Hi, Dustin, I listened to your recent episode of HTOTW about what is an evangelical. It was a fantastic show, by the way. If I may, I would like to give my own anecdotal input on black Protestants and how they differ from white evangelicals. My mother's family is highly religious, including uncles and cousins who are pastors. They fit the standard model of Christian who lean liberal / Democrat. I'd say it goes back to the days of slavery when Lincoln's Republican Party fought for their freedoms, and on to the modern Democratic Party, after the Civil Rights Act was passed. Black Protestants know what it's like to be marginalized and treated as second-class citizens, so the Jesus that they worship understandably advocates for civil rights and equality. Add to the fight in modern times a woman's right to her own healthcare choices and LGBTQ rights. Just look at Reverend Ralph Warnock, clearly a man dedicated to his faith, but he doesn't use it for bigotry, but instead the rights that I previously mentioned. Just my thoughts and personal experiences with the Black Church. Great show, and keep up the good work."
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. That reinforces that I was on the right track, because what I was seeing was that Black churches, you know, Black evangelicals often are separated out in demographics, if you're talking about anything political, because they are a completely different entity.
Different political group completely.
And trending towards mainline Protestant. They will never be mainline Protestant, except for the African Episcopal Methodist Church. That one actually does sometimes get counted as mainline Protestant. It's fascinating. All right, so we are going to move on to our main topic, buckets.
Buckets!
All right, so for a refresher, or if you missed that episode or have started listening more recently, Lauren has a sleep disorder called idiopathic hypersomnia.
In case you missed it. Jeez.
It is like type 2 narcolepsy, but it's not type 2 narcolepsy. For the simplest description. So, without medication, Lauren sleeps 14 to 16 hours a day and has no energy the rest of the day. With medication, it's much better.
Yeah, I'm able to function. Mostly function. There's a lot I can't do, but we've moved the lifestyle around enough that it appears that I'm on top of things for the most part.
And several years ago, it was, if I asked Lauren how she was doing, she would just say tired. And I quickly started to figure out that doesn't mean anything. When the answer is always tired, then tired does not provide information.
No, it loses all meaning.
And also, since I'm a healthy, neurotypical person without a sleep disorder, what tired means to me is not what tired means to Lauren.
At that point, I hadn't even really thought out the vocabulary to describe what kind of tired I was. Like, that took work to sit down and think, okay, when I tell him tired, he's getting frustrated because I say that every day. How are you doing? I'm tired. Well, yeah, you're always tired. You are correct. That is not helpful, pertinent information. So that's when I wrote down it was basically a wheel where tired is in the middle. It's the go-to. Yeah, I'm always tired, but what kind of tired is it? Is it physical? Is it mental? Is it emotional? And then that's when we kind of came up with the idea that besides just using a better vocabulary, because there's a lot of words for tired, splitting those into categories to better explain this to my daughter became really important.
Yes. And we came up with the idea of buckets to describe it. And is the bucket full or empty? And there's several buckets. So, like, for me as a typical person, I really have one energy bucket. It's full or it's empty. It's usually not empty.
And then when it is empty, you're ready for bed and you go to sleep and you feel better in the morning, like most people.
Yes, but for you, that's not how it works.
Not at all.
Also, anxiety and depression play into it as well, and those comorbidities.
Yeah, because you can be physically exhausted but incredibly anxious, and that looks different.
Yeah,
than being very chill and still having but not having the energy to do what you want to do. So, which was, you know, those were both very real everyday occurrences,
and that was also all during a time period when we were trying to figure out the right medication combination to balance the hypersomnia, anxiety, and depression.
Yeah.
And not get too many interactions. And it was...
Yeah, but having, like, what was this? Well, how old was Kylie at that point? 2, 3 years old? 3?
She
kept wanting to play, and I kept telling her I was too tired, and she didn't understand what that meant. At this point, Dustin was starting to figure out what I meant by tired. I could usually use words that he understood at that point, like sleepy or physically weak or just anxious or sad. Like, you had to expand on it. But to a 3-year-old who wants to just play with her mom, that didn't make any sense. We had to categorize it in a way, use a metaphor that a little kid would understand. And that's when buckets were born.
And so there's a physical energy bucket.
Yeah. How much energy do you have to perform a physical task, whether it is walking or showering, whether it is actually doing lifting weights or pushing a shopping cart, driving? There's a lot of physical stuff that's going. How much can you do?
Yep. Then there's the sleepiness or wakefulness bucket, which is a separate one. You can be sleepy and not tired, or tired and not sleepy.
Yeah. I call that my mental bucket. So for Kylie's metaphor, there was 3. There was physical, mental, and emotional.
Okay.
And it's a tripod. And as long as they're all in balance, you're usually, even if you're not doing great, you're stable. If one gets knocked out for some reason, if it empties too soon, then the other two are also going to be off kilter. Spill, become empty earlier, you know, whatever, however the metaphor works. But yeah, the mental ability, executive function ability,
yep,
was its own bucket. So there are times where I had the physical ability to go for a walk, but I could not, cannot play pretend because I can't come up with the next phrase or prompt.
Well, you may even have the physical energy to go for a walk, but not the, your mental bucket might be too empty to decide where to go.
Yep. I'll stand there at the doorway and I will not move because I can't choose what to do next. So that happens a lot. Grocery store trips are hilarious. I get a lot of steps in going back and forth across the store because my executive function is just not up to pars. I have the physical energy to do it, but I do not have the mental ability to go in a correct order or check things off the list. And then there's the emotional bucket. And that was one that was, it's easier for me to explain as, you know, stereotypical woman who, when I get really emotionally upset, I cry. It happens. I'm a crier. And so if something really, there was a time there where Kylie was going to have to get used to me crying because my emotional bucket was empty and I couldn't handle the next emotional hit.
Yeah.
So yeah, those were the three big ones. I would consider my wakefulness to be a theoretical fourth bucket.
Okay.
Because there are, I could be empty on all of them. And that clearly affects my wakefulness. I could be full on all of them in the morning, about 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm usually pretty good, but if I had bad sleep for the past week, it doesn't do me any good because it knocks everything else all out off kilter again. So,
yeah. And if you...
I find the three to be very helpful for a lot of people.
Yeah.
My theoretical fourth one is specifically for people who are have problems with sleep and wakefulness. That works for those people. But for everybody has this trifecta of how stable they are, whether they are the mental acuity, physical prowess, or emotional stability. That everybody has those. A normal person, by the end of the day, their buckets are getting kind of empty. They've been leaking all day and they start to get maybe a little grumpy or maybe they're not able to think as clearly. A lot of people have that.
And then you go to sleep.
And then you go to sleep and then the next morning it's all full. I go to sleep and the next morning I've gotten a couple drops back, maybe.
Yeah.
So depending on the day, you can even wake up with empty buckets. So those really suck.
Yeah. One of the defining characteristics of idiopathic hypersomnia is the non-restorative sleep.
Yeah, which is so funny that one of the biggest things that you're told is if you need to take a nap, take a nap. And all I want to do is yell and scream and throw a fit because naps don't help. All I've done is waste 2 hours or three or four or five because naps don't work. They will take you out of situations and give you the break that you may need away from stimulus, but they will not restore you.
And realistically, you probably got the most benefit out of naps when your emotional bucket was in play a lot more, that it could help reset that somewhat.
Yeah. I wouldn't get my wakefulness back, but it would help maybe help stabilize emotion or physical or the mental bucket, barely. But yeah, it's mostly just the break from stimulus that is most needed. Calling it a nap isn't even right anymore.
Yeah.
But I was explaining this theory to a friend of mine who has long COVID. She's got fatigue that she can't describe to other people. She couldn't find the words for it. And they were also getting frustrated with her after 6 months of her saying, "How are you doing? How are things?" And you're like, "I'm tired." And people get real sick of that because they think you're trying to be throw a pity party when that has nothing to do with it. You don't want pity because you're tired. You're just explaining, "I'm tired." So I explained to her, you know, come up with your own vocabulary for tired. Are you physically tired, mentally, emotionally? Use the buckets as a metaphor for people saying, you know, physically, I'm still pretty shattered, but, you know, emotionally, I've been doing pretty good today. That actually gives them something to go on. That tells them, oh, so we can maybe talk and you won't break down crying today. Yay! Or, oh, your mental bucket's low today? Maybe I shouldn't talk about complicated or overly complex ideas. That gives other people an idea of where you're at in a way that I'm tired doesn't really get the point across anymore. And I know there's a lot of people suffering from long COVID, so... It was a nice idea. I don't remember where I heard it from or who came up with it, but oh, I remember. It was for little kids. The emotional bucket was for little kids. Now, in the book for little kids, they're only talking about the one bucket. And it's just a way of explaining to kids that throughout the day, if you have a fight with a friend, that's a scoop of water out of your bucket. If you have a fight with your parents, there's another scoop of water out of your bucket. By the end of the day, you may be empty and you might have a tantrum. You might have an emotional meltdown. So what are things that you can do to help restore your bucket throughout the day? What are things that you can talk to your parents about to help them know when you are empty or if something is particularly taxing? Because some parents may not realize that some offhanded comment that they just made just was another scoop out of their kid's bucket. So this was, I can't remember the name of the book, but it was a really good idea.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's cool, but that doesn't really describe the more complex issues that adults have. It's not just one bucket. It's more like three or four. So yeah, I like the metaphor. It seems to illustrate it more clearly because what I have is an invisible disability where I can go out and about and I look fine. But when I have to tell people I can't work a job because I'm not sure if I can drive in because I'm too tired, like they get confused. They're like, but you drove here. You're fine. It's like, ah, I did drive here. I've got my husband on speed dial just in case I can't drive home. Like there are things in my life that I've had to change and adapt. It makes stuff like work impossible. And that's you have to come up with ways to explain it to people.
Yeah. And reliably being able to get Kylie to school in the morning and pick her up when that's a mile and a half away.
Oh, yeah. It's a stone throws away.
That is very different than having to drive across town.
Yeah. There are parents who have to drive across town to get their kids from school. Whether they work across town or they put them in a different district, I couldn't do it. I can't do that. I don't know what we would do if it wasn't for the fact that her school is just 5 minutes away. And I know that for school pickup in the afternoon, I've got so many alarms set. Because if I find myself 20 minutes away and school pickup is now, like the second day of school happened, my mental ability to tell time, my internal clock is shot. I don't know what time it is. If I'm not constantly checking my watch, I could accidentally end up somewhere half hour away and not even realize it. It's time to go pick my kid up. So those are just more examples of those lifestyle changes I have to do. I'm going to have to start blocking out the whole like hour before school pickup just to make sure I'm there because It's too easy to get distracted. I don't have the mental acuity to focus and say, hey, there's something really important coming up. Maybe you should address that. Nah, I'm going to go look at this third thrift store or whatever. It's difficult.
Yeah. And this episode isn't necessarily a typical episode that we would do topic wise. It is very much an important part of the human experience. And thus I think,
how many people are out there in peak physical and mental condition right now?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were those crickets? Yeah. Everybody deals with problems. Mine isn't even that severe on the severity scale. I have functioning limbs. I have a functioning heart and brain, kind of. But everybody has their invisible disability sometimes. And when you have to deal with it every day, you come up with terms or metaphors or vocabulary that helps explain it. But for people who are expected to be in peak physical or mental condition, and they just aren't, have a really hard time explaining that away. It's damn near impossible.
And I have...
You should be fine. It's like, but I'm not.
And I have said on the mentioned on the show that my a couple don't remember which episode, but not too many back. Granted, it's been a while. That my creative bucket has been empty. It's a term I've found very useful to describe that.
Yeah.
My creative bucket empty doesn't affect my day-to-day functioning. It doesn't affect my ability to do my day job. It doesn't affect my ability to take care of my family. It doesn't affect physical or anything else. It requires all of the other buckets to be full.
And even though you say it doesn't affect you, it does affect your mental health. It does affect your
eventually
happiness. I don't like to use the word happy because happiness is arbitrary. It's almost as bad as sleepy or tired. It's like, well, what do you mean by that? But you were suffering for a long time. So, and it's taken a little bit of work to start filling that bucket back up so that you can get back to your hobbies and the things that make you a person and make you feel fulfilled. Because not everybody can just go through life doing the same old drudge routine and come out the end of the week a happy, fulfilled person. Oh, wait, nobody can do that. Yeah. We're human. There's something wrong with us. I mean, we need something more. It's particularly hard for parents. It's particularly hard for people with disabilities. And I'm starting to realize it's basically particularly hard for everybody, but nobody talks about it openly. So we don't know that.
Well, and just like it's hard to be a parent and hard to have a disability, it's hard to take care of somebody with a disability.
You have your own.
That's its own set of
issues,
difficulties, and bucket draining bits.
My lifestyle adaptions have mostly been Dustin cooks, Dustin drives, Dustin picks up, you know, he goes to the grocery store. He, like, my adaptations have worked for me only because I've had a partner that helps support me. I don't know where I would be if I didn't. I know where I would be, and it's not a good place. So thank you, Dustin. Anything we can do to help keep your buckets full, even if that means donating money to the podcast or something, would be great.
Yeah. And
snark.
Yeah. On a related note, I am doing, because it requires less creative effort, and I am trying to get back into putting effort into the show more regularly, I'm doing some back-end stuff that doesn't require as much of the creative effort. And a lot of that is going to be around reducing the expenses of the show.
Yeah.
Money's tight here at home, so I need to improve the profitability of the show. And the easiest way to do that is reduce the expense of doing the show. So there is a new website coming. It is requiring me to make edits on the post for every episode. That is a grand total of like 480 individual records that I'm having to edit. I am roughly halfway through.
Wow.
Approaching halfway through.
See, I'm one of those people where I would diligently go about that far and then say, F it, burn the rest down. They doesn't need to be on the internet anymore. But I'm glad you're not that kind of person. It's good to have a back catalog. But yeah, it's been a lot of work. It's been a lot of adjustment. Just trying to figure out to make things more efficient. You've always tried to make things more efficient, but financially, so.
Yeah. And I'm also taking a look at the other areas that have recurring expenses for the show. And whether or not they are worth it. So the voicemail line at 208-996-8667 has not been called in over a year.
I think the majority of your audience is probably millennial or millennial plus, but don't like voicemail. Don't like talking on the phone. Text it, email it, whatever, but don't interrupt my day with a phone call.
It's the second time I've set up a voicemail feedback line, and both times, right after, no, by right after, I mean about 6 months after creating it, it gets a bunch of use. And then after about 6 months of it getting a bunch of use, it drops down to almost none, and then eventually none.
Well, I mean, and to be fair, we haven't done much in the past year.
Mm-hmm.
So, not fair to say it flopped. We just, there's been no show for people to give input on. We want it now, though. One of the reasons we're talking about the buckets today is because it was a topic that is very human. It's very real to Dustin and I's lives. And I want to hear what other people want to talk about, too. I want to get those ideas flowing. Voicemail, email, any of those other ways of contacting us to let us know what are your thoughts? What are you going through? What do you want us to talk about?
You can use the feedback form on the website. You can send us an email at contact@htotw.com. Use the SpeakPipe button. You can record yourself on your phone and email that to us. Like, there's a bunch of different ways to get in touch.
Yeah.
And
just not social media. That's pretty much done. But yeah. Which, you know.
We're on Mastodon.
We're on Mastodon.
At HTOTW at mastodon.social.
Perfect.
And so
short episode.
That's gonna be it.
That's all for today.
So thank you, Lauren.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners, for sticking with us.
That's very, very wholehearted. Thank you.
And until next time, remember, not all those who wander are lost.